This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
It's time for the Brian Roux Show on Revolution Radio, coming to you from beautiful Vancouver, Canada. Brian and his guests talk about the big picture, the world view of reality with good and evil. They explore the truth and lies from aliens to globalists to advanced ancient civilizations.
Are you sure this is legal?
I don't know. It's fun though, isn't it?
Welcome to Revolution Radio. This is Tuesday, June the 6th, 2021, and this is the Brian Roux Show. Sorry, I was a little late logging on for about a minute. Revolution Radio is not listed under R on Skype, so I had trouble finding it. It's listed under RRB Delta Server. Anyways, for the Brian Roux Show, I'm on this week. I missed last week because I was moving. I mentioned before that I was evicted for a COVID violation, which is rare in Canadian history for someone to be evicted. Because on December 11th, 2020, I had a couple of friends over, which violated the provincial health office's rules. So they used that as an excuse to evict me. So I got a video about that on my BitChute channel, sort of the BitChute channel, BitChute.com to Brian Roux. And I'm going to be commenting more about that in the future, making a blog post. So for today, for the show, I'm going to play a talk. It was a talk and a reading I gave of Susie Hansen's book, The Dual Soul Connection. And I should just make the disclaimer, I don't represent the Susie Hansen, I don't represent her views, but I'm just giving my own interpretation of it. And I did this with a meetup group. My meetup group is Alien Agendas. You can go to meetup.com and find it there, Alien Agendas. So this is quite a powerful aspect of her book because I feel it describes really the great alien agenda and how to topple the new world order in the future, sort of their long-term plan. So it's like the ending of the book, kind of the pinnacle of this whole process. So this is my big interest, UFOs, aliens, and really what does it mean, like the meaning behind this? It's not enough just to chase after UFO sightings or analyze UFO sightings. And what the government releases is just elementary stuff. I feel what experiencers have given us, the information that contactees have given us, is actual culture, society, and the agenda of the gray aliens who are front for the Federation of Planets. So I'll start with that talk right now. This is about a half an hour long, and then I'll carry on from there with another talk I recently recorded with Crystal. She's here in British Columbia. She's also a contactee, and she's been getting some urgent messages about the world today and what we should be doing, and what her immediate predictions are, what she's been given. So I'm going to pass that on. So the first one I'm going to play for you now, it's about 33 minutes, called Three Ways of Souls Drawn to Our Planet, Roundtable on Susie Hansen, Part 1 Lecture. And this is a series of five videos on my YouTube channel. Also, find my website, brianrue.ca, thoolsociety.com is back up. Also, truthandjusticeforgermans.com. Okay, folks, so I'll play the talk to you now. Welcome to the Alien Agendas meetup group. I'm Brian Rue, and this is June 2021. And I'm going to be talking about Susie couldn't be here herself tonight. She had to postpone a visit. So I'm going to talk about her book, The Dual Soul Connection. And I've done a few videos to meetups. I can't even recall how many I've done on this book. I think this is the influential book in my life in a year. So I don't have to introduce her whole background, since I've done that previous video. In New Zealand, she's in her mid-60s. And throughout her entire life, she's had a relationship with the grays, like this gentleman here on my left, whether it's a male or female. Relationship with the grays, the mantis. And I've read her entire book from cover to cover. For the first time last week, I completed the type of book I read slowly, because it's so deep and so profound and so well read. I certainly recommend it. Below this video is the link you can get off of Amazon, written by Susie Hansen and Dr. Rudy Shield. That's a Dual Soul Connection, the Alien Agenda for Human Advancement. And I want to specifically read from chapter 36, called The Three Waves, Willing Souls Drawn to Lives in Our Planet. To me, this is kind of a pinnacle or summation. To me, this is the best written plan of action I've seen to basically improve the world, or to overcome some of the negative dark forces in the world. I think of it as souls. She does talk about in her book good people and bad people and positions of power, how these three waves are going to bring in some really good people, high integrity and honesty, and how they will in the future gain political dominance and really transform the world. So it's like, it's almost too good to be true. The vision of the future is quite positive and hopeful. That's what I like so much about this vision. And I should emphasize that Susie Hansen is one of tens of thousands of people I've contacted with the grays. I'm not sure if anyone's added it up. Probably, in reality, most people have had contact with the gray aliens don't know it, because the memories are suppressed. Probably, likely, millions of people. And she describes how more and more are going to come to the fore and have awakened. So she's special in that she's recalled a lot of this throughout her life, and she's published this book and spoken out. But we know others, like here in Vancouver, we know a few. And I founded the Vancouver UFO Meetup in 2009. We met many people. I know personally at least a dozen people with experiences of grace just here. So what I'm emphasizing, we're not relying on one person's view or one person's opinion, what one person says. What's written has been corroborated by others, at least parts of it. So as Richard Dolan recently stated in one of his talks about a week and a half ago, this is a massive program. It's global, worldwide, every country, and it's massively covert. And he said, you have to come up with a really big argument to say that this is man-made abduction. So, you know, he definitely believes this is alien. I'll this is not too long. This chapter is only 7 pages, and there's a bit more after that. So I'll basically read through this, some commentary, and we'll have discussion after this for as long as you want. And as usual, conversation goes in lots of different directions. You can talk about whatever you want. So I'd like to welcome everyone here. There's 9 people here. Just for the audience, for the video, we have me, Blair, Bob, Carmen, Great 199, Jonah, Lion, Rolf, and Stephen. So here we go. This is my reading from, show you this. Chapter 36. Here we go. Called The Three Waves, Willing Souls Drawn to Lives on Our Planet. So she starts off, it says 1990, age 35. She says, back in 1990, I was given sufficient information by the Greys relating to what they refer to as the three waves, an influx of volunteer soul incarnating over a wide time frame with aim of assisting our planet in its evolution. The information was comprehensive and specific. However, the same information was also intimated to me by the Greys in 1962 at the age of 8. When the Grey instructed me, embedded vast information in my subconscious mind about my future son and the group of children he would belong to. So in these experiences, if someone in the viewing audience, like thousands of people watch the videos, the way this comes about, her abduction experiences, or perhaps there's a lot of people don't like to use the word abduction because they're contactees and they're willing, but she would be picked up in a small, like a flying saucer with others, and brought to a larger ship, maybe a kilometer across, like at the top of the atmosphere, outside of the atmosphere. And they would have these meetings sometimes with many humans, like dozens or hundreds. And then time is always of the essence in real time, a few hours. And then they got to get them back. So they shuttled back and forth. This has been happening all her life since she was a baby. And this is typical of people with the race. So they're picked up, like the typical, say, Grays come to bed, and you see them. Then they have their memories are suppressed for a few hours. Basically, the settings. So carrying on, she said, publicly information about the three waves. When I spoke at the second scientific and metaphysical symposium in Sydney, Australia, in June 2007, several of other researchers and regression therapists have discussed or published similar concepts. So it's often with regression hypnosis that people recall these types of memories. So Barry, how are you doing for the waiting room? Okay, but just souls born on the planet have long forgotten their spiritual origins and reasons for being here, and our universal governing body broadcast call for assistance. That's a 9 soul origin and assist on our branch path. Agreements were initially sought between our universal body and volunteer souls. Various alien species, including Greys, human souls, are already living on the planet, and other entities inhabiting our planet's atmosphere and energy field that belong to this planet as we do. We might assume the agenda is just about the human race and the physical planet, but it is not. We are part of bonded to others, and what affects one sector of the galaxy affects all. We cannot be left behind in the expansion and evolution of the universe. So that's quite a profound statement. She's saying it's necessary that planet Earth is on board because it affects other planets. So this is profound. She's talking about this region of the galaxy or the whole galaxy. So carrying on, she says, the three waves of volunteer souls was initiated and certain programs were formulated. This chapter outlines the three waves information as conveyed to me, though some of the terminology used is my own, as it best conveys the sense of what I was told. The Greys imparted this information to me in order to, one, help me understand my own position and that of my son, both in their programs and within the greater structure of this planetary assistance, and two, to pass this information on at the right time, other experiencers and people who feel that they're part of something, but they do not know what it is. And I've met people like that in the UFO meetup. It catapulted me to finally writing this book. In examining this agenda of assistance, I can see endless associations have been formed with souls involved in the three waves. It is vast and incredibly clever, involving multi-layered complex programs. The whole measured, detailed, and structured. And we're talking about the whole world. The three waves are interwoven, interdependent, and there is no hit or miss. It needs to be complex because anything simpler could be circumvented or compromised by human ignorance, arrogance, or naivete. So she's really building us up for something here. So she talks about the first wave. The first wave is comprised of two distinct groups of volunteer souls incarnating here over a long time span. One earlier, the innovators, and one much later, the enlighteners. Their motto could be challenging the norm. Some of them may never have lived a life here on planet Earth before, and so their soul source may have acquired technological, environmental, and spiritual understandings on planets or existences in our universe in other lives. However, they have all felt the tingle I described in chapter 9. A call to enter a new life, this time as a human, volunteering to play an important part in assisting our planet to evolve out of our stagnant state. In general, those incarnating in the first wave do so not so much for personal learning, but for significant contributions to mankind through the introduction of new ideas and the manifestation of psychic, intuitive, kinesthetic skills. The innovators make up the smaller part of this group. Trailblazers who have faced difficulties because their ideas and perspectives challenge the norm. They began to incarnate as early as just before and after the turn of the 20th century. You know, I think of Nikola Tesla, you know, she never mentions him in this book. Like he would have like visions of an electric motor, things right in front of him and make him. He was born in 1858. And one of her videos, Susie Hanson says it began around 1850. Wow. And David Jacobs says he thinks it began the last quarter of the 1800s. So that's just a comment I make. So he says, by the 1930s to around the 1960s, many of them have become inventors, critical thinkers, and scientists involved in the advancement of industry and technology, as well as sociological trends. Many were involved in esoteric subjects and early spiritualists and mediumship movements. Like her mother and grandmother were like that, spiritualists, sometimes resulting in leadership or oracle status with large followings. Others were involved in early flying saucer research. Wow. The second larger part of this first wave, the enlighteners agreed to be born on this planet much later, around the 1980s to 1990s onwards, thus crossing over with the emergence of the second and third waves. Many enlighteners are now in early adulthood, while others are still children or yet to be born. They have come to be known variously as the star kids, indigos, crystal children, or new humans. In part, enlighteners have come here to accustom us to kinesthetic physical skills that are beyond the present day, present everyday capability of most humans. Many have deep spiritual understandings and recall past lives from an early age, often as extraterrestrials, which they're open about. Enlighteners are quite natural or even sometimes overt about their abilities. They may be futuristic thinkers, innate a sense of free spirit and positive energy, and generally do not fix into existing educational systems because they think outside the box. Many become involved in environmental healing and spiritual pursuits and art and music. sensitive, and intuitive. The enlighteners will alter our perceptions about many previously taboo metaphysical topics and open our minds to the psychic potential they exhibit. This has been carefully choreographed by the universal governing body and extraterrestrials to occur at a time when significant numbers of the second wave are revealing their crucial personal information on UFOs and contact experiences. The enlighteners will also pave the way for the emergence of the third wave group with even more extraordinary abilities to reveal. So the second wave, and that catchphrase for the second wave would be an unrelenting sense of purpose and commitment in their lives. The second wave is also comprised of two groups, the pioneers and the communicators. People in this group generally began incarnating around the 1940s to the 1960s. So these are the baby boomers. Significantly, they encompass most people in the three distinct groups involved in contact: contactees, abductees, and experiencers. More so than the other two waves, many second wavers feel out of place and different, as if they do not quite fit anywhere, even sometimes feeling they do not belong in their own family. Having arrived here on Earth, many do not like their surroundings or prefer to go back to the peace of the source. And they struggle with the difficult but strengthening lives they found themselves in, but agree to, and the attitudes of many of the humans around them. They often describe feeling as if there's something they need to do in this life, but they do not know what it is, exclamation mark. This can lead to feelings of frustration and lack of fulfillment. This may quickly pass once their destined tasks in life unfold before them. However, those who have arrived with an inherent understanding what it is they need to accomplish in this life feel a strong commitment to its completion. Many in this wave have the heart of all three waves in terms of public exposure. That of introducing mankind to the idea through personal public testimony that we are not alone and in fact share our universe with other sentient beings that have already made contact with humans. Some may face criticism, skepticism, and scrutiny. Many will have experienced contact right throughout their lives, and some will have retained memories of this, while others have yet to uncover them. The pioneers began their work early, many of them being involved in the contactee movement. Their huge interest and popularity worldwide, telling of positive contacts. Much of this interaction was reported to be with gentle, human-like cosmic visitors, whose teachings, along with those of the spiritual innovators of the first wave, helped give form to New Age philosophies. The idea of peaceful human-like visitors was easy to accept for many, but although some pioneers still experienced ridicule and scrutiny, they made vital preliminary steps towards opening the way for the emergence of the communicators. The second group, the communicators, includes many abductees and experiencers who each in their own way promoted the reality of an extraterrestrial presence, have advanced it further into the global psyche. Many communicators are now aged in their 50s to their 70s with a wealth of life experience behind them. Abductees in this group began talking about their experiences as far as back as the 1970s, some earlier. Many suffered at the hands of the media. Even so, the sometimes negative or traumatic accounts were valuable in once again focusing public attention on the potential of life in the universe. Around the 1990s, more communicators came forward as the experiencer group evolved. Having come to terms with their contact experiences, they spoke of positive and transformative accounts of contact with non-human entities. This synchronized neatly with the emergence of the first wave enlighteners, star kids, etc., who reinforced and exhibited many of the detailed descriptions experiencers provided pertaining to telepathy and psychic abilities, psychic skills, and communication with these entities. From around the 1970s through to the present day, many communicators have written books, appeared in documentaries, formed UFO groups, and contact support organizations, and have spoken publicly about their contact experiences. I believe many more will come forward in the years to come until a critical mass is reached. Their accounts are more readily accepted. As presented in this book, their information of alien technology and communication will begin to blend with and be corroborated by new understandings and discoveries about consciousness, physics, and other areas of science. I just saw in a story, Susie told once she was on a ship and she was visiting this gray. Then another gray came by with human features, very special gray, and she interacted with him trying to get some advice. And she said, "You know, do you have any advice for me?" And he said, one word, he said, corroboration. So she took that to mean, you know, we got to corroborate with other experiencers here on Earth. One word. So that was a very important message. The second wave includes people from all walks of life, including scientists and members of the military. It's worth mentioning here that some second wave people experience broken marriages. That happened to Susie. Their first marriage having served a genetic purpose in producing specific offspring. Sometimes a marriage breakup occurs when the second waver realizes their true path in life. They seek to make changes to facilitate this. They are not accepted or understood by their spouse. A second marriage is often with the person who supports their endeavors and is like-minded. But most significantly, among the communicators is a smaller group of people who have come into this life with dual souls. So Susie is a dual soul. I mean, she has this gray soul identity with her, along with her human identity in the same body. I know I'm putting it sort of in my own words. They come in this life with dual souls and are the parents of the third wave human. So Susie Hansen has two sons, and they're quite special that way. This dual soul connection facilitates a proliferation of humans extending into the third wave who have enhanced awareness with extraterrestrial support and guidance, a group that is central to a positive agenda for humanity. So now the third wave. The third wave consists of the offspring of these specific members of the second wave. I've called the third wave the implementers, because they will be responsible for implementing sweeping positive changes to our world. Okay, this is good stuff. Change from within. Thousands of third wave humans have been born on the planet since around the 1980s, 1990s onwards. Like their parents, they all have dual souls. So I read this like this is the plan, like I'm saying, this is the best written plan of action for the future. It's something positive that I've read, really. This is it. So she says, all of the third wave children are the end result of selection within four generations of families that have been genetically identified and tracked by the grays and are referred to by endpoint children. The term endpoint does not indicate there will be no generations of children beyond this point. But as previously mentioned, the familial component comes into play here, and it simply means these souls incarnated into the fourth generation of these genetic lines. You might want to take the video back a minute and listen to that again. A specialized group within the third wave, referred to by the Grace as fourth intellect children. Now, most now are young adults, were selected as babies because they exhibited the attributes of desirable genes early advanced psychic capabilities and an aptitude to relate easily to any extraterrestrial species exposed to. As with their parents, third wave children were involved in preparatory meetings prior to incarnation with the universal governing body and various species. They have participated in multi-level programs administered by the Greys and have been trained to use much of the Greys' own advanced technology with natural ease and competence. For instance, one of the subjects Susie likes most when she's interviewed and on videos is the technology she's used. Like, she's flown flying saucers herself, you know, like, I think you put your hands on this panel and you fly with your mind. So she's been trained on how to do this. So she describes this in the book, her and some of the mistakes she made flying. So this is one of her favorite topics of using alien technology. Okay. The Greys have sometimes referred to the third wave as the concealed ones, because they must remain dormant for some time while they're raised and sent out into the world by them. Most of them do not recall their extensive relationships with extraterrestrials, and they likely will not until certain events take place on the planet or in their lives. So this is getting quite profound, because we're talking about the future of all of humanity, right? That's what grips me so much. Like, I think this is the single biggest issue in the world, not just UFOs and aliens, but one of the reasons why I named this meetup group, you know, Alien Agendas Meetup, because I think the agenda that the Greys and the Mantids have for humanity is the single most important issue in the world. That's kind of a pun, like, beyond the world as well. So carrying on, terrible for these young people to lead normal lives while they achieve highly in their educational systems and chosen professions. So you can see them, you know, rising up within society. There are other reasons for concealment into protection for the safety of this group, as the Greys do not want the group to move too fast or become visible yet. I was watching a video of Susie Hansen just the other day. She described UFO conference she was at 2018, when someone sprayed some chemical fluid on her, which gave her a disease on her skin and her blood and her lungs, and she was close to death. So it was a murder attempt, and she just attempt on her life. You can see, I should do a plug for Susie Hansen's YouTube channel. It's called Susie Hansen. You know, she's got a small amount of subscribers, about 1,300. So I'd like to support her, bring more attention to that. So I've got a link to her YouTube channel below this video as well. So you can see the importance of concealment. Like I said here, there are other reasons for concealment relating to protection and safety for this group, as the Greys do not want the group to move too fast or become visible yet. So you can see they're working slowly and intuitively. However, in the same way that I experienced intuitive abilities as a child and learned to keep that hidden, so must these children. They will exhibit these abilities from birth, but they will not express them overtly, but rather will instinctively prefer to utilize the skills imperceptibly. When the third wave begins to develop full memory of contact, they will need their parents' guidance to assimilate this information into their lives. By then, many of their parents will have progressed to having considerable memory of their own contacts. Some third wavers may initially have difficulty in assimilating the fact that they have had a lifetime of contact. However, the fourth intellect group will likely accept this quickly and easily. The third wave awakening will happen slowly in the lead up to them gaining a positive authority and influence in their chosen careers. Third wavers will grow up with strong, positive values, equipped with wisdom beyond their years. Throughout their lives, they will naturally exhibit qualities which most humans recognize and aspire to: kindness, humility, wisdom, warmth, intelligence, integrity. This is not many other humans do not display these same qualities, because of course they do. But in the future, these good human qualities are combined with high psychic abilities and full memory of what they've been taught by the extraterrestrials throughout their life. The third wave will present a powerful, positive human force. So that's optimistic. They will not feel the need to publicize these memories, but rather quietly use them to good effect. The greatest aim is that the implementers would just be seen by other humans as highly educated people with integrity who will rise to prominence, yet humans with unusual insights and skills. So you can see how all of this is disguised for good reasons. And people have criticized the Greys for lying, but this shows the justification that because of the, you know, the world we have in it, this is a skillful plan to transform the world. So I definitely support the Grey agenda. Their positions of authority in a wide range of professions will enable them to make sweeping positive changes in our world. And they will use this power with wisdom and compassion. Abuse of power will be unthinkable because it will not be in their nature. And their leadership and example will be widely accepted. So that's almost too good to be true. I mean, I believe it, I hope it's true, but can you imagine politicians, leaders, presidents, and prime ministers having that kind of integrity? Like if that happens, then fine, that's excellent. So all this will be timed to a period when humanity will be in chaos, grasping for hope. So you think, you wonder about Agenda 2020, right? Agenda 2030, like, are we going down that precipice now? Trained to overcome negativity and volatile, chaotic resistance, and will gain the support of the masses that will see them simply as exceptionally good leaders. The universal governing body, the Greys and other species treasure these humans, considering them like their own. And many experiencers with the Greys describe a family-like relationship they've had with the Greys throughout their lives. So you can understand the Greys, you know, treasuring them as their own clan, like their own family. They hold great hope for our future under the guidance and intelligence of this group, and feel confidence and surety in their eventual success in bringing about positive change. The fourth intellect group is more specialized and will be involved in leading the way to our future relationships with extraterrestrial civilizations. That's profound. They and or their offspring, who will share their genes and abilities, may eventually become the bridging species of our future, communicating openly between humans and extraterrestrials. They are the first of the future humans. So that's the end of chapter 36. That was 7 pages. Chapter 37, I can read that later. We can have some discussion now. Chapter 37 is just like 4 pages long. So that's called Implementing the Change from Within, Future Humans. Summary of the world and transition takes it further. But I've been going on for about half an hour now. So we can open up the mics. You can, or we can have questions and discussion, and I'll chair the meeting, and we'll keep going. So what's your feedback? So I inspired, and this is like the culmination of the book, right? This is right at the very end of the book, right? You see the book, it's where the bookmark is here, right at the end. So it's such a well-written book, and also by the Harvard professor, Dr. Rudy Shield. Okay, folks, that was end of part one. So now I'll jump ahead to the next reading. It's actually part three. There's three parts if you go to my BitChute channel, Brian Root channel. This is called part three, where I do the second reading and we have a bit of discussion. So I'll just play that for you now. Thank you. you want, I can actually carry on. I know you're all waiting for it, right? I promise to carry on with my reading. I'll describe the picture behind me. This is Vancouver City Hall, where I've lived. I've been there countless times. And this UFO photo was taken, I think, 1937. Black white photo with two witnesses, a fellow and his brother. I think they're in their 20s. So this is not some water stain on a film. They saw it. They said they saw it. Took this picture. So this is one of the remarkable UFO photos in Vancouver history. This particular photo is taken. This is on Canby Street, where City Hall is, and this is believed to be a corridor, a UFO corridor in Vancouver, where many people was going back probably over about a century. So carrying on with Susie Hansen, this is chapter 37, Implementing Change from Within, Future Humans. And I'm really impressed with this book. So carrying on, she says, summary, a world in transition. I do not think anybody could deny that our world has reached a critical stage. And I'll jump down a bit. Despite phenomenal technological advances in only decades, it seems we have not matched this progress spiritually, and do not always use technology with integrity, which is an understatement. Technological and scientific breakthroughs that could assist humankind sometimes utilize negatively on power and accumulating wealth. From my understanding, the universal governing body, the grays and associated species, foresaw the need for massive changes to take place to divert us from creating our own annihilation. To facilitate changes in the midst of predicted global upheaval, they formulated the three waves agenda to assist us to help ourselves. Constructive transitions must unfold subtly and discreetly from within humanity rather than from without. Progressive change from within was considered to be more desirable than humans perceiving a sudden alien presence as a threat. So this describes a lot of the whole big picture. Like people ask, well, why don't they land on the White House lawn? So this is the explanation. This has been going on maybe since 1850s or 1880s. They decide they're not gonna do this overtly. So it seems like they're gonna produce this whole transformation of society. I can't say without being, no, I guess at some point they'll show themselves, but this explains why they're not at this time just showing themselves. However, in this time of exposure and confusion, we might ask how long this positive transformation might take place. On occasion, the Greys provided me with an analogy to explain the timeline of their agenda. However, in this time of exposure and confusion, ask how long this positive transformation might take. On one occasion, the Greys provided me with an analogy to explain the timeline of their agenda. Imagine you're about to get on a train to complete a journey, which has a starting point from and an end point, the final destination. The train may not be running on time, so you're not able to determine the exact time you'll arrive at the destination. It may depend on how many stops the trains make, like steps required in the agenda. How many people board the train at each stop, which means coordination of groups, species, or individuals involved in it, or whether the train is down and has to be repaired. Glitches in the implementation of the agenda. The thing to remember is that you will eventually reach the destination. Patience is necessary. Like a steady influence at a deep level, the third wave humans in particular will affect people's mindsets with their intelligence and knowledge, introducing far-reaching changes in many areas, but especially in worldwide policy and decision-making based on integrity. Like, this is really good news. This has the potential to alter people's lives for the better, lift global consciousness, creating a step up for mankind right across the world. The third wave mind has an inherent ability to cut through the vast amounts of extraneous detail to examine the core issues constructively. We need that at getting to the core because there's so much confusion in the world and discursive thought. Some of this change will be made by stealth in a positive sense, because very few people will know who or what the third wave really are, or the combined human and extraterrestrial education upon which they will base their knowledge. I read this book slowly. I'd read a paragraph, think, oh, wow. I'd read two sentences, really contemplate upon it, one of those books. Their influence will keep unfolding into the future as younger third wavers reach maturity, with their mid-30s to mid-50s being the optimal time for them to have reached positions of effectiveness in their chosen careers. A measure of concealment is necessary because during, which may continue for years to come, close examination will arise of anything that threatens institutions and belief systems that currently provide a measure of stability in many people's lives, or alternatively, which may cause dissension and disruption. So to me, she's kind of alluding to our mainstream media, mainstream thinking, even the New World Order. So I've had emails back and forth with Susie, I don't know, maybe 10 emails, and she's cautioned me how I've interpreted some things. Like I did an email, I did a video on the Kennedy assassination, and, you know, was Kennedy going to release information about UFOs, and, you know, what, did he need to be silenced, and could the Greys have a hand on that? And Susie objected to that video, so I took it down at the time. So I just want to say my disclaimer for the audience is I'm not an experiencer. I'm a guy, I'm a researcher, and I study this, and I have an hypothesis, and I don't really know what I'm talking about as much as an experiencer would, like experiencers, you know, personally, or Susie. But she describes people like communicators and volunteers. But I'm not actually in this category of communicator volunteers, really. But what I'm trying to do is I'm volunteering to being a communicator. I mean, I'm trying to promote this information and spread this information. But I'm saying I do make mistakes. So I do defer to Susie Hansen. So she sends me an email after about this particular video, which says, well, Brian, you're wrong about this, you're wrong about that. I can leave notes below the video or description. I definitely defer to Susie and to a lot of other experiences. But I'm volunteering here to spread the message. I see that as my role. And I give a lot of contemplation to this, right? That's enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think about this reading? So I'll carry on with the reading here. So she says, this change will be made health in a positive sense because very few people will know who or what the third wave really are, or the combined human and extraterrestrial educators upon which they will base their knowledge. Their influence will keep unfolding into the future as younger third wavers reach maturity, with their mid-30s to mid-50s being the optimal time for them to reach positions of effectiveness in their chosen careers. A measure of concealment is necessary because during this time, it may continue for years to come, close examination will arise of anything that threatens institutions and belief systems that currently provide a measure of stability in many people's lives. So this is big, right? We're talking about the entire world. When you talk about stability of society, this is quite big. The possibility of an alien presence depicted as an alien threat may be seen to fall into both categories. Hence, the necessity for the third wave humans to remain in the background until the time is right on the planet for them to shine. A period of time may follow when certain negatively powerful sectors of society will realize their dominance is at last being stripped from them. Wow, so now she's talking turkey, or she's getting to the core of the issue. And that the common people understand things they didn't understand before. So she first wrote this book in 2014, and this is the 2016 edition. But I think we're seeing that now, like with COVID and other things, people are waking up, hey, we're being lied to here. So I think this is what she's foreshadowing. In this covert power base, if this covert power base aggressively fights back, it will be members of the second wave who will come to the fore at that time to meet any challenges in regard to UFO and extraterrestrial issues with their wealth of contact experiences and information. Each of the three waves is a vital part of the whole agenda, independent upon each other like the cogs in a wheel. And in previous experience, Susie was on a craft with many human beings with an ancient gray, one of these wise ones, and he emphasized to them saying, remember, you're cogs in a wheel. And that's it, it's part of a larger plan. And I think of myself as a cog in the wheel voluntarily. I mean, I want to join this wheel. I'm volunteering to join this wheel. I can't say they plan a cog, but I'm just joining in and being a cog. So I like to support this. So she says, each of the three waves is a vital part of the whole agenda, independent upon each other, like the cogs in a wheel, in preparation for the evolution of humanity. The three waves agenda is designed to move us on into a future of evolving values and spiritual awareness, increasing peace, and eventually intergalactic relationships. If we are collectively willing. I like this idea of collective. I know Jeff in many of his previous videos, if you look in the Vancouver UFO YouTube channel, he talks about needing more collective thinking in the future and how we just don't have collective thinking in the world today. We're all scattered and divided. Some readers may question why the universal governing body chose a gray species, among others, to implement these programs. From my understanding, they were selected for their attention to detail and planning, consciousness, mind capabilities, genetics, their technology, which appears to have already developed further along in similar path to our own. And in particular, their experience, souls, soul enhancement, soul insertion, and dual souls. However, other species are contributing to this long-term plan as well. But in effect, humans are interfacing mainly with the grays and mixed species in these programs. They have stated they are aware their intentions may initially be misunderstood by many. And that's so true. If you look at ufology books and videos and discussions online, many people don't trust the grays. You know, they think of alien abduction. Some even called it like pedophilia or abuse, or they say the grays are liars. You get that. Or another misnomer that they're from the future. And I know other experiences say that doesn't really make sense. Although I'm not saying it's not true. So the grays are seeking further volunteer souls from within humanity itself. So I'm volunteering. I encourage you too. Those whose lifespans are near to completion, they will facilitate a shortcut for these souls. And under their guidance, these souls will prepare them to return quickly to new lives on our planet, or perhaps even another planet in the future. Arriving in the new lives with elevated spiritual awareness. They, along with the fourth intellect group and their children, will be the future humans. Ultimately, the three waves are the introductory process towards this end, with the third wave initiating this world transition. But for now, at this critical convergence of events in human history, unpredictable game changers are shaping our current and near future lives. The station stops and holdups along the train journey, such as COVID, such as risk severe pandemic. So she writes risk of a severe pandemic in a 2016 book, like, wow, foreshadowing COVID, or the risk of a nuclear attack.
Okay, folks, we're coming up on our break here. Please do donate to Revolution Radio. We're totally listener supported. You can go to freedomslips.com or revolution.radio. You can donate by credit card or snail mail. And after the break, I'll continue with this reading. You can get her book. It's on Amazon. It's called The Dual Soul Connection by Susie Hansen. Susie and Hansen is H-E-N-S-E-N. Highly recommended book. I got a couple of copies for my friends. I want to order another five more to pass them on to people. Really the most influential book on me in a few years. You can find me. I've mentioned before my website, brianrood.ca, and on bitchute.com. So we'll carry on after the break. And just... listening for the music here. It's coming on. Okay, folks, back in a few minutes. Thanks for listening to Revolution Radio on Tuesday, July the 6th, 2021.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. There was blood on the wire. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire.
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey guys, Scorpio here. Join me every Saturday at 2 p.m. here on Studio A for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show, where we discuss the hidden agendas that impact our lives and uncover the secret societies and the shadowy elite who construct the reality that we are supposed to believe. So be there Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Studio A on Revolution Radio and learn what's really going down.
Lost a little honey on the lone highway. Left me for another on the lone highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the lone highway.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution, Revolution. Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back to Revolution Radio. This is the Brian Roux Show on Tuesday, July the 6th, 2021. And this is the second hour. I'm going to continue on with a talk I was playing called The Three Waves of Souls Drawn to Our Planet, Roundtable on Susie Hansen, Part 3. This is a video you can see on my BitChu channel, the Brian Roux channel. That's R-U-H-E on BitChu.com. It's with my Alien Agendas meetup group. We'll have regular meetings maybe every week. So if you want to join us anywhere in the world, it's done by Zoom. Go to meetup.com, look for Alien Agendas. Based in Vancouver, Canada, where the Brian Roux Show is. I've just been preoccupied the last 3 weeks moving since I had a COVID eviction, but things are good. I'm in my new place now and it's fine. And getting back to the job of being a truth seeker, truth teller, and host on Revolution Radio. So now we'll carry on where we left off, folks. Here we go.
Such as COVID, such as risks of a severe pandemic. So she writes risks of a severe pandemic in a 2016 book. Like, wow, foreshadowing COVID.
Host on Revolution. So now we'll carry on where we left off, folks.
Wars,
here we go.
Political conflict and terrorism. Add to this dramatic change and intensification of existing pandemics in a 2000 book, along with the likelihood of increased demands for water, food, and energy, the third wave policymakers and implementators will need to understand the big picture. I think it's good to be a big picturist. And how to be proactive at a high level within a destructive environment. Our civilization may first come close to rock bottom before the skills of the third wave can come into effect. So she writes, but the progressive activation of millions of people comprising the three waves also has the potential to create an unprecedented expansion of awareness around the globe, eventually leading us to new levels of understanding pertaining to our planet and everything it contains. So she's talking about millions of people as part of, I believe there's already definitely millions. David Jacobs and Bud Hopkins did a survey in the 1990s concluding that 6% of the world's population are abductees, meaning hundreds of millions of people. And that was in the 1990s. This is the last page here. In the world, mankind will need to adopt policies of global cooperation, effective conflict resolution, sharing and supporting more vulnerable countries. I believe the positive future trends will be that individual self-responsibility, constructive empowerment, and spirituality globally. There will be a reduction of poverty and disease with new types of conscious technology and communication methods. Advanced technology will be used to clean up the environment and provide new kinds of healthcare and sustenance. Trillions of dollars previously spent on warfare can be channeled into transforming our planet it's my hope we'll start thinking cooperatively as a species rather than as fractured groups and individuals. Whether such a vision happens in our near or distant future or at all is up to each of us. I guess I'd have to perhaps disagree Hanson on this point. In the future of this world, now I would say the negative power place basic down. And I think they have a relationship with the aliens, I would say. I'm not blaming the Greys. I'd say maybe it's reptilians. I don't understand, but I'd say there's good and bad aliens. I think people generally agree with that. You know, unless you're, but I think the human power has a relationship with reptilians, which is also one. I've been perhaps a bit more pessimistic myself. So carrying on, the universal governing body and our cosmic neighbors force us to change or to impose conditions of being invading alien. Perhaps they can trigger us into a self-response. Yeah. That is acceptable, the law, and the three-way and integral part in this process. Powerful longing and stir a desire for change. We are not alone. We have never been. Look up at the sky on a brilliant starry night. So, how could we be? That commitment to positive trend is built on our planet. It's us. A part of it. And to take our wider cosmic community in a universe teeming soon. The quote here saying, greater purpose for there be, Dr. Ruby Wild. And that's the end book. And then that is a subologue, an alternative reality, Dr. Sheila White's. So I want to thank you for listening to me is creative, and I know Jay is not that exciting, but I think video is good. Carol, just wait, and the truth is, and it's the power of the biggest picture. Like, the biggest picture is this world and beyond this world, about our relationship in this sector of the galaxy and in the galaxy. The universe. So as I've emphasized before, I feel this is the number one biggest, highest issue in the whole world. So I feel it's a privilege for me to be able to make videos and talk to thousands. And we've had videos reading from her book to tens of thousands of hits on the internet on BitChute. So that's my talk. So let's have others chime in. And I noticed Christine Peterson joined us here. So,
sorry, I was late, but I'm glad I made it for the tail end.
So you want to tell us a little bit about you? Like, where are you? Do you want to turn on your camera and show your face?
I'll turn my camera on next time. Today, I am.
Oh, makeup. I see. A girl's got to put on her makeup. That's okay. I understand that.
I mean, I'm just outside of.
Okay, very good. Yeah. You were in our last talk, right? You were in our last video, right?
Yeah, I was.
Well, great. And we should tell the audience, you're an experiencer.
Yeah. Since I was a kid, I was having the astral travel, which I didn't know too much about it back then. And yeah, I've continued having experiences recently too, of various kinds.
Okay, well, you could have the floor for a while. I've been talking a lot. You could comment, question, or just share your experience, whatever you like, you know?
Well, I was interested to hear about tell me more about what that the Greys are looking for volunteers. Like, how does that work when people pass? Do they have the opportunity to be a volunteer? Like, or is that like something that you volunteer to do in this lifetime?
She talks about volunteers as a category of like experiencers who volunteered, rather than just a normal human being like myself who's volunteering to join.
I might have to pick up her book because I had I had questions about a number of things you were saying. So it would probably be best to just read the book.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. How did you volunteer then? Just like through communication? You just like, they let you, they, it just came up and you said you volunteered. How did that take place?
Well, I'm saying I don't feel I have any relationship with the Grays. I feel like I'm a guy who is really interested in this, and I value this as the most important thing. So that doesn't put me in the category they call volunteers. She's describing volunteers are people who had a relationship with the Grays prior to birth in a previous life.
Oh, okay.
They chose to have a relationship with the Grays and come to this earth for a particular purpose, which is with the communicators and others. There's several categories. That's one category. And communicators is another category. So that's not me, right? I'm a Joe Blow. I'm a guy. I'm an answer. So when she says volunteer, she's talking about people who volunteered to have a relationship with the Grays. I think what she wrote is in a previous life. They volunteered for this role in this life.
When I had a reading recently that was very convincing, it was very authentic, convinced me. She had told me that I had volunteered. And so I think that's partly why that caught my attention too, but I think we all volunteer to come here, don't we?
Well, I think you might be a genuine volunteer, but I would say definitely from my understanding, 7.9 people are not part of this. 7.9 people do not have a past life relationship with the Grays and they're part of a program. I would say maybe 300 million, I'm guessing, or 500 million or 127 million or less. But there's a category of human beings called volunteers and a small 7.9 billion people in my view. So I think, you can literally be a volunteer. Do you think you are?
Well, I just have, it's never been on my radar that I in particular have a connection with the Grays. The Grays has never come up, but I do buy that I volunteered for some reason, and my intuitive download has been that it's for whatever one of the primary reasons is to be one of the people who's transmitting light in some way, as crazy as that may sound, if you've never heard of that before. And I don't even know really what it means, but it's just an intuitive feeling I've had and something I've been guided towards.
Yeah, well, you should share more of your experiences. Like, what do you mean by light when you say that? How does that feel to you? Or is this something that you came up with, or were you working with someone else to interpret
it? I've read it in tons and tons of different places now, and it just, I was guided to see it in numerous places, and it just intuitively something about it was grabbing my attention. It's just that there's apparently, as the Earth is ascending right now, the energetic frequency is increasing, and for some reason, there's a lot of people who need to assist with that process in some kind via being here in some way. I'm not an expert. I'm just mostly here to learn from others too. I don't know.
Yeah, well, my understanding of the majority of experiences with the Grays is like many of them have a sense of purpose, or many of them think they're here for a purpose, but they don't know what it is. This is where she has an exclamation mark. Because so many people have that feeling and they don't know what it is. For instance,
you said they lost their planet. Did they lose their planet? Is that what happened?
I don't know. I haven't heard that, no. But I think in terms of the gray alien agenda and the three waves, what Susie's writing is that some of these people who are part of the three waves, they have the feeling that they're here for something, but they don't know what it meant. People personally, the most famous abductee, Doug, we've known since 2009, where he since left, I think, to the Philippines. I told him stuff. He said, I've had that experience. Like, he doesn't read UFO books because this whole thing is very negative about it. I said, some experiences have this feeling that, when the big day comes or when something happens, that they'll be called to direct people about what to do. They'll have a feeling about what to do, because I read one of David Jacobs' books. And David Jacobs, personally, and Bug Hawk, on his videos, he talks about Doug's experience known to these people. Doug said to me, I've had that feeling for many years, you know, and know that others have had this experience. He's net ET thing. Like, he was so that he is a rooster up close, personal, flying saucers. Rays come to his bedroom, manipulating his genitals, get sperm off. And actually, there's one record on Paragraphs. I have it saved in my computer, loaded as a separate talk on my channel someday. And he was totally negative about the whole thing. To a psychiatrist, I wish they could just go and tell me that it's not real and never happened. Dr. Christine.
Oh, no, well, that's very, no, I've never heard of that before, that some people feel a knowingness to know when the time comes. I have been told by more than once by people who channel that specifically that there is some for me too, that there was a reason. I don't know if it has to do, like, again, and not specifically a concept of the grays. I've had it on my radar about the Lyrians. I think they lost their planet, so that made me wonder if that's why we're expanding, if they had previously, like, why does their interest in Earth in particular, you know?
Well, yeah, my understanding of that is, and certainly Susie describes it, and others talk to, and I've read about it, is, like she was saying at the beginning, planet of the bunch, meaning this area of the galaxy, they're all interconnected, and planet Earth left on its own. So she describes planet Earth is on a down cycle, like spiritually, and myself, I'm sure I've been teaching Buddhism since 1996, and we're on a Kali Yuga, which is a phase spiritually, like even during the age. So the gray part of it is to upgrade spiritually this whole process of creating hybrids in the future, say 500 years from now, whatever it is, humanity will be a hybrid of who the grays are, Homo sapiens sapiens today, to create this hybrid human called the new human, might turn out hundreds of years in the future as the process. So the idea is to help humanity in our evolutionary, quantum dimensional consciousness, physically, and to turn humanity definitely going hundreds that this what we're going to do. Some extent said since the atomic bomb fired World War II, they made the decision to come on board to this FENETS or universal governing, we call it, whole planet beings in it, not just humans. That's a pretty big, that's basically your question.
Thank you for explaining that.
Okay, folks, so that was the rest of the talk I'm going to play. If you want to find the rest, go to my BitChute channel, Brian Rue. Now I'm going to play another recent urgent message that I got from Crystal. She lives here in British Columbia. And actually introduced her to Linda Moulton Howe, who's got one of the most famous people in the UFO field. And Crystal was on her show in January, got about 75,000 hits. So she had experiences with the gray since since 2010. She gets many psychic impressions, seeing UFOs literally hundreds of times. So this talk is called Urgent ET Messages for Humanity, the Great Awakening and the Three Timelines We Face Right Now. It's an hour and 11 minutes long, so I'll jump into about minute nine because we only have about 35 minutes left. So this is Crystal. Here you go, folks.
They're really highly metaphorical, actually. They sort of use the symbolism, but not in like, not the way our psyches do. Like, it's much more clear and it's multi-layered, you know, it's very complex.
Yeah, 35 minutes left.
But they said, yeah, many others are to run and hide, which of course is a bit scary to hear, but I mean, come on, we got to wake up, like, look what's happening. Clear. So, and it's more, you know, it's very, was this March 8th? Yeah, that one. Oh, that one was March 6th. So then the next one was on March 8th. This one is really interesting, and the UFO community is going to love this. You guys will love this, but this is the next vision. I was shown many different ships in the sky. I saw green and white, and they were showing me the different ships and the different patterns. So like some of the ships have, you know, different shapes and different patterns. And when a ship would appear, a being would step forward and introduce themselves to me. And so I met like at least 30 different species of different beings in that vision. And they were like, you know, this is our ship and here's what we look like. And hi, my name is so-and-so and I'm from so-and-so. And then they would step backwards and let the next. So I had like, you know, a vision of that. And then they took me into showing me a collage of my life, a collage, like a moving collage. And they said I was a strong leader and that I had grace and kindness. And they were showing the little things. It wasn't big things that I did in my life. It was the little things. Just being kind to someone at the grocery store. Somebody trips and falls and you help them up. Those things that they were amplifying to me to show that's what real true kindness is. That's what your life is about, is those little things. It's huge to me because I always saw things differently, like many of us have been conditioned to do, but it's the little things, those little acts of kindness. I said to them, will you guys show yourselves to humanity? And not yet, but soon. Not yet, but soon. I was like,
I hope it's soon. Okay. These are the grays? You know, they're the grays?
All of them. This was all of
them. All of them. Yeah.
So I was under the impression, and they did give me this sort of, as I was waking up, they were like, many of you are awake. Many of you are awakening. We are having a shift. You may be able to do this on your own. And they said, we may have a new plan. Now that's big, okay? That's really big because what they're saying is that enough of the planet is awake and awakening, connecting to consciousness, connecting to the highest good or God, the collective consciousness, then all of this mess that we're in, because we know that this is going so quickly here in the world. They're saying plan, and it's us. Do that.
Is it okay to take off your glasses for the audience just to see your eyes? You can't really see your eyes.
I don't want to. It's so bright out here.
Oh, but it'd be nice to see you. It'd be nice. There's so much spirit expression in the eyes, you know? Turn away from the sun or do you have powerful eyes? I think you also have perhaps larger than normal eyes.
I look very... Oh, come on. It's too...
but I don't see your eyes. Can you...
I'm sorry. It's 45 degrees scorching sunny. I had a concussion. I have to wear sunglasses or I get a migraine. Okay, so the next one was March 9th. See, there's a lot of stuff. That's why I was good. This one's scary. They said it was a contract with me, and that they couldn't, but they said And this is word for word. Times that's say something you bother with, they just say it. So that's what they said. The health and what was wrong. And they're absolutely right. They were that. So I've actually been by that what I was vision, the room. And so now I've been able, which is pretty cool. Another one on my, that I was, oh wait, one more thing. This was messages, this one on May 9th, March. And I said they were trying to get a hold of my child, but they couldn't get a hold of them. That was interesting. Okay. So they met my kid. Okay, he's 14. And
they are.
Whoever it is that is, I mean, usually in my visions, if I hang in the vision, narrated, but there isn't like a physical presence of some. There is a physical being, and it's usually the grays.
So you mean the grays want to talk to some non authorities?
Yeah, sorry, yes. The grays. The good ETs. The other thing is March 9th, and this is very important for everybody, and this is one of the biggest messages, is they said people fall soon. Okay, that's important. Really, I believe it will be mid-July. And that's why I'm doing all, is because of that reason. I feel like we're about to be blindsided. I feel it coming. I have the most strong intuitive feeling about this, like more than I have anything in my life. I can't enough how strong I believe that something, whether it be the paper situation, economic collapse, I think's coming. I know that people who've been doing research, a lot of research, we all, but I had this vision and I used it and then I researched. So I'm feeling that direction, but to get verification. That's important. They didn't give me an exact date, but intuitively.
So you mean like the Great Reset, talking for over a year about the Great Reset, as it some government happened, you know?
Yeah, like very
digital.
I think it'll be like early July, first or second, early second week July. Something's coming. It's going to be so big, like massively big. I also think that there may be. I don't know if that's it, but I think that's part of it. And then coupled with another event, like such as grid problems, power outages, and prolonged peace grid. There's so much coming that we just, I will get into it, but this time I was sitting upright. Like I was sitting upright in my bed. Really weird. I've never actually ever done that. But I was like sitting and I heard this telepathic voice so clear. It was so loud. The good, actually the bad ETs. They actually said to me tonight, we're going to kill you. And they said it telepathically. So they're not doing. But I don't care. So I just can say, well, I mean, I know what I had a near-death experience. Dying, it's like it. So okay, whatever. And then they just left after that. March 11th. Now, clean. That day was also deemed as World COVID time, so I guess that's something to them. March 12th, another message on Mars. They said that it's an angel, and they said that I never went to God because I came from higher realms, And this is what they told, like, literally told me. I came here to humanity during these troubling times. I was shown, like, so I was actually shown what my light, and it was pure white light with wing, armor, sword, before my waking, so that was my waking message, but then I also forgot that I was also shown sort of darker energy stuff, low level energy stuff. They were talking about like hedonism and greed and the worldliness of, you know, sort of like that dark stuff and how it was kind of forced on the world, people's vibrations really low. And then they had entity who says and discuss personal mistake of the matter that It flashed red and white. Had like an observation deck, and it was a full-on disc shape. It was about it's probably at least 100 to 200 feet wide, and it extremely like not the usual UFOs that I see. They move quick, like they're very mechanically.
Oh, how far away was it?
It was probably 2 kilometers. It was really close. I have me as well. I have a photo because I have a phone, so I haven't. A lot. I mean, I was all the time, but they're just
is
like
that close. Is two of most is usually that far away.
Really close. It was super.
You said 2 kilometers.
Yeah, that's it. Was very
close. Good distance, like, because close don't mean anything unless you add future. So that's good to know.
Tell at night, I could just see the shape of it, but I couldn't see it like super because it was nighttime, so it was dark. It looked very close to me, big, huge, but it was not ET.
So can you get a psychic feel, and my mate, how do you know?
I have a very strong intuition. I'm able to do remote view, and so I just looked inside, and I was like, "Those aren't ETs," and I could feel.
What did you see? What did you see?
I saw military. I don't know, but I saw it was like not. It was not ET. It was not ET.
Do you think they're the ones who are trying to, because you're working for the Greys and they're in opposition, you think it's a relationship like that?
You know, at this point, I think it's just whoever, like, kind of doesn't go along with the agenda, whoever, it's just, you know, it's eventually if they get, you know, to complete their takeover. Okay, so I'm going to go into the next one. So I had a dream about what to bring. This is like for a bug out. We're literally talking about a bug out. To pack, what to bring. And this was, it was still winter, like the later winter. I had a date. It's February 2nd, 2022. 02-02-2022. It means a lot. Those number sequences are so important in the rest of the cosmos, all of these high level beings. Those number sequences are like mathematical and they create patterns, and they're just way beyond our understanding of time and space. And anyway, that's important. Number sequences, and so are astrological events. But I was given 02/02/2022. That was a specific date that I was given. And I believe that might be when we actually have to go into survival mode. So the next one was March 11th. And I'm going back to March 11th. I don't know why. No, sorry, that's March 16th. It says March 16th. So I was shown how to make baskets to trade and told them. So it looks like paper money has fallen already at that point. And they're showing, it was so crazy. They showed me how to make a basket. And then I looked it up on YouTube like the next morning. And it was exactly the same as the video, which I'd never even thought about weaving a basket. But sure enough, I'd never learned it. And I was taught in this vision, and then it was exactly the same. And then also how to make pottery, and I'd shown how to cook it in a fire, like how to bake it in an actual fire. And they were saying, you know, bring, you know, have things made. So that's important. I mean, I'm being shown like this return to living off the land. I don't know what date this was. Okay, March 20th, saw another UFO outside of my house, and it was very clear. It looked like, you know, sort of like a satellite, but way closer and right over my house. And that happened 2 days in a row. So it was like, as soon as I looked, there it was, and it was slow and very, very, very big and bright and low to the ground. Kind of look like a moving star. So then March 25th, this is important for everybody who's listening. I don't really care what people think. I'm just relaying the message, because I know this is a controversial topic, but it's very important that I repeat exactly what was shown to me, without like putting my own opinion in, but just what was shown. It was, do not get the vaccine. They said literally, do not get it. They said, do not get the vaccine. You should run and hide. So if you're being forced to do it, it's no. Do not get this thing.
I agree. I second that. Thank you for confirming that, Crystal.
I just in the vision. I'm repeating that vision. It's not necessarily my own opinion, although my opinion is, I just base my entire life on my visions. I mean, that's literally the truth to me. If I was some kind of crazy person, then, you know, the visions wouldn't make sense. You know, they wouldn't add up to what's going on in the world. They would just be a bunch of gibberish and nonsense. These things are like tying in. I'm watching the visions coming true. I'm watching things lining up with these visions, and I'm getting them like 3 months in advance, sometimes years in advance. So this is the next one, March 7th. I had a dream about community, and it was people were living in the forest. Like, this is real, guys. I was like being shown, you know, basically going back to like pioneer days where we're quilting and sewing, hand sewing things. And there were groups of people coming together and doing it through all of this. So it's time for us to start finding those people, okay? Because that's so important as well, that we start, like, we know what's coming. I'm going to tell you more about what's coming. It's important. Now, I also saw something really odd, and I kept seeing it for 2 days in a row. I saw zombies, like these, like, people that, you know, not like trying to eat other people, but just wandering around, and like they were walking on the highway, and they just looked like the Walking Dead kind of thing. They just looked like zombies. And I had to ask somebody, what is this? What does this mean? I've had two visions about these zombies. So it was March 27th, zombies, and also this community. Then at the end, it was,
you think these are people taking the nose of zombies?
Ben, I don't know what it means. I honestly don't know what it means. But the way it's unfolding, it's going to make sense, because it's not just a coincidence to have a dream about that when we're looking at what are the long-term effects? What if the long-term effects are that it creates, you know, health issues that make people look at it or have problems? I don't know, but I just, you know, I hope that that's not happen. I really hope not, but you know what, at this point, like, I wouldn't even be surprised, they would not be surprised in the least if that was what ends up happening to some people, because we just don't know what is in it. If it was all good for you, you should prove it. But anyway, I could go on and on about that.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's a point that some people just, they refuse to accept anything other than the narrative, and we'll just leave it at that. So it's up to people to decide what that all means. That's what I saw. So that was the next end zombies. Then March 29th, another dream.
Did it explain why? Why not take the vaccine? Did it explain what was wrong with the vaccine?
No. They did, actually, but not until later. When I get to that vision, gosh, my battery's getting low here. Okay, so I'm going to just have to rip through a few more, and I will get to it. So March 29th, again, it showed me as an angel. So they were again showing me, this, you're in a war, girl. Like, you're in a war. We are in a war. And they're showing me I'm in armor with a sword and a shield and marching with thousands of other angels. And I was in the front. We were like, you know, they talk about God's army and God's angels and stuff. This was real. I was in it. I was marching with them, and we were marching. It was like this battle, like this straight up showdown between good and evil. And I was in it. And there were many of us. There were thousands and thousands and thousands of angels that are here, that came here. I was one of them. So what I get from that dream, or whatever people want to interpret, you know, maybe they're showing we were placed here to do this work, to you know, whatever it is, right? But I just know that that's what they showed me.
I just want to comment. I agree that we're in a war. Like, one of the methods of war and the art of war is to make your enemy think that you're not an enemy, that you're neutral, that you're in your friend. So I think with the vaccines and COVID, they're pretending we're the medical authorities. We're trying to help you. That's the tightest, where people don't realize that they're in a war, but we are.
Silent war.
Yep.
Yeah, and so a lot of us feel it. We feel it. There's something. It's like being gaslighted, right? Everything's fine. Don't worry. But you
feel gaslighting. It's gaslighting.
The ultimate. Okay, here's the next one. March 30th, saw another UFO in my house. Then that night I went to sleep and I had a dream. Now this dream is very important. This is so important. One of the visions that I have ever had. Okay, I'm gonna read it. So I dreamt of people trying to fight the government. Now the surveillance was heavy-handed. People could not speak or even joke about the oppression. The were part android. A lens over the right eyes became controlled when the government was looking for someone. They were babbling, incoherent zombies in circles. They were confused and totally unable to defend themselves. These are the V. They provided surveillance through a lens.
Why do you say the V? Remember, there's that science fiction TV show called V. You mean these are the vaccinated, right? No connection. I guess there's probably no connection. That's just coincidental, right? The show was called V. I was actually a background actor in V my 10 years ago.
Yeah, so I was seeing it from multiple perspectives, which is a prophetic dream. Always a prophetic dream. So if I see from multiple perspectives, then I know that it's a prophecy. It's going to happen if we let it. We have three days. So far, I've talked about the one about the Earth and the ET stepping in at the last minute, us awakening on our own. And now I'm going to talk about the third timeline. Okay. And this time is extremely dark and very, 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 very disturbing. Very. So I need people to know. So it was like a human zoo. These were cities, but they were pens. and you'd get let out the pen for 15 minutes a day. Now, the people that were in there, they had AI integrated into their body, and I was told in the vision they had vaccines. So in the vision, like, people were going crazy because that's not a natural state. And some people who refused, but I'll get into this. A desperate man tried to break away and run into the forest. The right eyes of all the zombies focused. They jumped from person to person, targeting him in seconds, soldiers in the head. The vaccinated were part AI. They were humans. Humans were not really humans. They'll suffer. And they were. It was awful. Then I was a woman. Some of us had refused the vaccine and refused the eye chip. Between the years 1 to 11, we had a choice to chip our vaccine. Between the years 12 to 17, we were tortured by the year 18, which is coincidentally the numbers 6 plus 6, just coincidentally. By the number 18, they had control over us and would force it. They were like concentration camps that looked like small cities. They all of these zombie-like people connected in a smart grid. So totally integrated into your body. They knew what you were. You couldn't tell a joke. There were drones that would and tell you not to think that thought. It was so messed. Now, another important part.
What is one? What year is year one?
I guess years 1 to 11 of being in their city, being in their custody.
Year is year one out of 11 years.
I don't know. I don't know, but it's coming.
Okay.
The other thing is that the people in, I think this was in the far future, like this is showing what their end game was, like what they really wanted to do. And that was that they want these people zoos, right? They just kept people in this zoo so they could just torture and torment them, and they gained power from them. So the people that were like sort of brought up or whatever were Asian. So I don't know. They look like a hybrid type of person. Like they were genetically created, sort of like a very like light. It's like a mix between Caucasian and Asian. And couldn't even formulate a sentence. Like I was at, like in the vision, I asked, "Are you vaccinated? Or are you vaccinated?" Because I could see that the happening everywhere, and this person couldn't even formulate a sentence. You know. So it's like, oh.
So are you talking about the perpetrators, the Chinese?
The cattle, the farm animal, you know, used to be the human race.
So you're talking about them.
Yes.
They look part Chinese.
They did. The people, most, not all of them though, but most of them seemed to be like the most trapped in it. Like they had been sort of bred and were just sort of like these barely human or small. They looked male and female, and they looked Asian, the Caucasian. I'm not really sure the ethnicity, but some Asian. For sure, there was Asian. It have Asian features.
We're here in North America. Is this like an invasion from North American territory? Is that what you mean?
Well, I didn't get the full picture of what led to it. This is what they're trying to do. So this is what the long-term goal is. You know, this is like the future maybe, where it's all been established and where it's been like, you know, long-term. And so there was, you know, who had...
Yeah.
Who'd gotten away, and they were the refusers, and there wasn't too many of them, but there were some. But eventually, anyway, I'm going to read the rest. So many looked Asian with mixed with maybe white or Caucasian. Many were young. They were all young. There were no children. You couldn't tell if they were male or female. Like you, and not I, look, I'm not going to be politically incorrect. It was hard to identify, you know, visually. What they identified as, even like they looked actually both, like they looked actually like they were genetically both, and that was genetic engineering,
like androgynous transgender androgynous, something like that.
Yeah, like I don't know if this is like a rude word. It's hermaphrodite.
Hermaphrodites. Right. Anyway, they were engineered biologically to be in that state.
Yes.
In a compliant and an androgynous state. And like, I don't have anything against. I know a lot of people. So I know that are out about politically correctness, but this was like pointed out to me that these people were both genders. Okay. And I think that had some significant vision. Now people can do their research and maybe people know what the heck's okay, but it was just, I had to go and look it up later, and I figured out it was transhumanism.
Probably some alien project to create that. They're probably creating this, maybe submitting this.
Yeah, it was like, you know, like what people do with chickens where they have just, they're all drumsticks, or they're all, you know, they don't even have beer. And, you know, it was like people had just been deduced out of state of just, it was appalling. It was horrendous.
But who did this? It wasn't the Greys that did this, right?
No, it wasn't.
So who did it then?
Well, it was the bad ETs, the dark, that have been here setting up the world for their, you know, that's their playground for thousands of years.
Yeah, but what did they look like? Were they reptilian, do you think? Or who were the bad ones?
No, I couldn't see any reptilians, but I did see Nazi soldiers, SS officers. So they would come convert the refusers, and they did it with torture, and eventually, you know, and they did it with every form of torture. And I'm not going to go into it, guys, because it's so dark, and I had to see it, and I have to like live with those visions. But I'm
just wondering who they are. Like, are they human government forces? Are they aliens? Like, where did they come from? Who are they? You know, were they communists? Were they like?
I don't know. They were SS officer, like Nazis. That was who I saw. And then the rest.
Where were these Nazis come from? Like, where did they were defeated? Where are these Nazis? Where did they come from?
I don't know, guys. But we're gonna see them because they come up in all of my visions. So I don't know where they came from. I didn't know that they still existed, except that I just keep seeing them in my visions. So I don't know if it's like a new, based on that old way of doing things, or if they really are just like, you know, maybe they went and reinvented themselves in Antarctica. Like, I don't know. I don't know, because like, I'm only going by what I'm shown. I try not to assume too much, because
maybe you're shown a vision, but maybe it just means something like alien or communist. Maybe it's a vision you got, but maybe it doesn't literally mean something.
Well, else. I don't know, but whoever, like the spirit behind the one guy that I saw, like the one that would come daily to convert the refusers, his spirit and his being was feeding off of it. He loved it. He was gaining power from the abuse, and I mean, it was like the worst types of abuse that you can think of, like, you know, like every type of abuse, like electrocution and sexual torture. It was just
sounds like the gulag in the Soviet Union since 1917. It sounds like that was the most torture I think ever known to mankind, like the Soviet gulag. I'm just wondering if something like that.
These guys, everything that we've ever seen, look like a tea party. Many cracked and agreed because it was mentally impossible to longer. Anyway, young men and women were broken down to nothing more than tortured batteries. Basically, they were batteries. I can go into a lot more, but I'll just say it was a factory farm of self-grid control. It was totally satanic, and it was a living hell for the human or subhuman batteries that were trapped there. So that's very, very dark, so hard to see all of. It answered my questions. It answered a lot to, in that one vision, it answered so much. All right, so I'm going to go on, unless you have more questions about that?
Well, it sounds like what we do understand today is the New World Order, the globalists, the bankers, the New World Order coming out of the city of London. It sounds like a New World Order. I'm just thinking in terms of who's behind it. That's how it seems to me. I'm just wondering if that's right.
Yeah, whatever agenda is being pushed, that's their end game. It's just to have, like, basically just a giant factory farm. That's
been underway for a long time, for many decades, you know. It doesn't sound like something, like the Nazis are completely different than what we know as the New World Order for many decades. So it's the envision of the New World Order, extension of what's happening now. Like, COVID is happening with the New World Order. We know that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and that's the thing, like, I just want people to take what they can from it, because this could mean something to other people. Maybe there's people who are more well-researched, and my job, is not to put my opinion into it too much, because, I know what's going on myself, but I don't want to impose my opinion on anyone else. I think, you know, people can take what they want from it. You guys figure it out. What do you think it is? What do you think that all means, right? Because that's important for us out on our own and to do the research.
And no, I agree. Yeah, I agree. You're like a periscope or a conduit or channel. You're giving us the channel. It's not up to you to interpret. It's up to others with other knowledge to interpret. I agree with that. So we just got to get your message out. Yeah.
Exactly. It's not for me to put my opinions into it. And I do have opinions, and my opinions, you know, I'm going to try not, you know, let those skew any of this, like, because there's a lot of positive, there's a lot of negative.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think there's a bit of a stumbling block when we said Nazis. I had a problem, and we were a stumbling block, but maybe we just carry on with the vision. Okay, folks, we're running out of time here. Do you want to encourage you to donate to Revolution Radio? We're totally listener supported. So these were the visions of Crystal on June 30th. We recorded just last week. So I guess you can interpret your own way or take with a grain of salt as different people receiving different visions. But I just wanted to help her and get it out. She's part of my Alien Agendas meetup group. So we'll be back next week for another edition of the Brian Roux Show on Revolution Radio. And today is Tuesday, January 6th, 2021. So thanks for listening, folks. Have a great week. Be well, happy, and peaceful. See you.
Revolution Radio. She travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Be evasive. But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically